Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. God gives joy and blessings to those that live by His precepts. It is wise to trust the Lord. Those who fear God and do not harden their heart toward Him will find happiness and mercy. This is not the case for wicked people. Therefore, it is sometimes appropriate to lovingly rebuke wrongdoers so that they too might eventually find contentment and peace in Jesus Christ. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 28, verse 14, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
Okay, let's have a little bit of happiness now. Verse 14. Happy is the man that fears always. Yes. Happy is the man. You know what the word happy means? Oh, how blessed. Oh, how fortunate and to be envied is the man who fears or who reveres God. That's a happy person. That's a happy man. That's a happy woman. The person who fears God. Again, let me encourage you that when you're studying the Bible, let the Bible define what words mean, not Webster's dictionary. Happy, blessed. How many of you want to be happy? And the rest of you, we'll pray for you tonight. Happy are the people who fear the Lord, walk in the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, happy is that people that is in such case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Saints, you and I should be the happiest people, among the happiest people on the planet tonight. You and I. Are you happy tonight? Now, circumstances may not be good right now. But that isn't what you base your happiness on. Your happiness comes from the Lord. He's the source of our happiness. He's the source of our peace. He's the source of our joy. He is the source. You see, and if you put anything else there as a substitute for happiness, you're going to take a fall. You're going to be disappointed. See, the Bible exhorts us to keep our eyes on the Lord, to keep looking to Him, trusting in Him. There's no co-saviors for mankind. There's one Savior, one Redeemer. He will keep you happy when you keep your eye on Him. They're happy because they fear doing anything that would bring dishonor to Him. They're the happiest when walking in the fear of the Lord. I've said it before, and now in four decades, I've never had somebody who backslid and then made an appointment to come and see me because they returned to the Lord. I've never had one person say, boy, you know, I was having a time of my life when I was living out in the world. They were miserable. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. The world has nothing to offer you, beloved. The world has nothing that can match what God can give you and will give you. The Lord gives us things that money can't buy. Real joy, real peace, real happiness, real strength. You can't buy that. The world can't give it to you. That's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's not there. God tells us, don't go looking for happiness in the world, the things of the world. If I had more money, if I had a bigger house, if I had a bigger this, if I had more of this. No. The Bible says, he that hateth covetousness prolongs his days. We've already, all of us, to be honest with you, we've already got too much of things. Now, we should be blessed by them, but never let things get the best of us. Our happiness is in the Lord. How desperately you and I need the fear of the Lord in our life, in our families, in our church family. Pray that God would saturate us, baptize us with the fear of him. Psalm 112, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. But he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief." The hardening of the heart means stubbornly resisting God's ways and commands. And the term harden was first used to describe the stubborn resistance of oxen to the yoke around their necks. And it speaks here of the resistance of a person's heart, their mind, and their will, and their emotions to God's control. Just ask Pharaoh if it's worth hardening your heart against the Lord. For those of you that are taking notes, Job 9:4 says, "Who has hardened himself against the Lord and prospered?" You know the answer? Nobody. Nobody. Verse 15, "As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor or helpless people." Wow. The wicked ruler is as unmerciful as a hungry lion or bear. Oppressive rulers, wicked kings, vicious leaders. We think of men like Stalin and Hitler, but they're in our government as well. Just simply wicked, corrupt. Verse 16, "The prince that wants understanding," or a tyrannical ruler, "is also a great oppressor. But he that hates covetousness shall prolong his days." He that hates covetousness. In fact, I believe it's in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. It says covetousness is idolatry. You know why? Because I'm the center of attention. It's all about me. Covetousness. And we're born into this world like that. Isn't that what a baby? A baby's all about themselves. Right? They cry, they whine. Everybody's got to beat their needs. Covetousness. You know, and we live in a world that is saturated with covetousness, greed. Jesus said in Luke 12:15, it's not going to be on the screen, beloved, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that they possess." Do you believe that tonight? Now, we should be thankful for all that we have, right? But that's not the source of our life. My value system isn't dependent upon anything material or physical. It's what the Lord has given to us. The Beatitudes, that's value. "A man that does violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stop him." I cannot help but think of abortion doctors. This nation has got so much, we've shed so much innocent blood.
Yeah.
He's going to flee to the pit unless there's repentance. Verse 18, "Whoso walks uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse or crooked in his ways shall follow at once." The word perverse means not only means crooked, it means that they walk, they have a different walk. Let me explain it to you. Like tonight, we're so well behaved. Look at you. You're sitting down nice, big smile on your faces, taking notes. Then you go home. And all of a sudden, then you go to work. And you're like the chameleon. Okay, I take off the Christian garb, and now I'm acting like this. I'm like the bros, or I'm like the girls over here. They have two lives. They have a church life, and they have a private life. That's what he's talking about here. Perverse. twisted, corrupt. He that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, there was another reference. He that walks uprightly walks surely, but he that perverts his ways shall be known. What's the passage of Scripture in Numbers chapter, I think it's 32, verse 23? You can be sure of this. Your sin will find you out. He that tills the land shall have plenty of bread, but he that follows after vain or worthless or empty persons shall have poverty enough. Tilling the land, working hard, habits of hard work and diligence are blessed by the Lord. Verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste or is eager to be rich shall not be innocent. 1 Timothy tells us in chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Godliness with contentment. What's your contentment level tonight, beloved? Contentment. What does it take to make you content? Well, if I had, what? Well, if it would stay 80 degrees for like 10 more years and I don't have to move to a southern state, what would it take? What does it take? How much does it take to make you content? That's the thing. The world wants you to think if you had more of this or better weather or if you look different, you're going to be content. No, you're not. No, you're not. You and I are born discontented on steroids. The only thing that can make us content, godliness, walking with God, and contentment. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are all that I... The Lord is my shepherd. Now, he'll bless you. You know why? Because he knows that he has your heart. He'll bless you because he knows that he is your shepherd, whether you have that stuff or not. Sometimes we don't realize what our source of contentment is until something that we didn't think we needed to be content is taken away. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and are certain that we can carry nothing out. You never see, when our children were born, they didn't come out with like a stroller and everything. Right? And all of the clothes and all of the baby wipes and everything. No, no, no. And you do a memorial service, a homecoming service. You never see a hearse, you know, with all of the stuff that you amassed. No, no, no. Having food and raiment, food and clothing. Did you eat today? And you do have clothes on. Thank you. Having food and clothing, therewith be content. And I go, but wait, I've got a car, maybe two. I've got a house. So how much more? But then he goes on and he says, but they that will be rich or desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. It's one of the thorns. Read them. In the parable of the sower, it will choke you. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 21, to have respect of persons, it is not good for a piece of bread that man will transgress. I think of James. This isn't going to be on the screen. Chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. And you know the whole context. He that hastes to be rich or chases after wealth has an evil eye and considers not that poverty shall come upon him. There's a price that you're going to pay if you make the pursuit of money what life is all about. An evil eye. When our perspective is corrupted by amassing more money, something inside of us is out of line with the Lord. Beware of all of those get-rich-quick schemes. When I first came to Christ, there were all kinds of these pyramid kind of investment schemes that ran through the church, and everybody that invested in them earned it up paupers. Just doesn't happen that way. He that rebukes a man afterwards will find more favor than he that flatters with his tongue. Remember when Paul rebuked Peter? Remember? Peter there was hanging around with the Gentiles, and then the Jewish believers came down from Jerusalem, and now all of a sudden Peter goes, no more of this bacon and pork chops, now I'm going to go over here. And Paul rebuked him because Barnabas and others were carried away with his dissimulation, living a double life. And then Paul says, when I saw that he walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I rebuked Peter before them all. And at the end of Peter's life, remember what he says about Paul in 2 Peter 3:15? He says, our beloved brother Paul. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. There are so many passages in the Proverbs that are an affront to my touchy, feeling good self. You know what I mean? We have to be able to speak truth to one another in love, correcting one another in love. Whoso robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same as a companion of a destroyer. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for this. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 15. I'm just going to try to sum it up really quickly tonight for time constraint. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. Wow, we've seen this so many times in the Proverbs, that there's a connection between someone who is proud and stirring up strife. The word proud means they have an arrogant spirit. They stir up dissension. In fact, in Proverbs 13, verse 10, we read, only by pride comes contention. Only pride is a source of argument, contention, strife, division. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Lord, I'm going to place this situation into your hands. I'm not going to be divisive. I'm not going to sow discord or dissension. I might not like what is going on here, but I'm not going to let my pride think I've got to make my voice known or something like that. Lord, I give this to you. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20 says, he that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. There's the word happy again. Isn't that great? Happy. Happy. Happy, happy, happy. Whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Oh, I'm so bummed out. What's going on in the name? Oh, yeah, you're vexed. But don't expect the world to make you happy. You're supposed to be vexed. Your happiness comes from the Lord. Happy are those people who trust in the Lord. I love that verse. He that trusts his own heart is a fool. How many of you know that to be true? Right? Well, Lord, I know what you said here, but you're pretty busy running the universe, so I think I'm just going to step in and help you out. And then plunge. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. You know why? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's a Bible lap, and one of the quotes there is, the absence of self-distrust is a certain sign of folly approaching destruction. I can handle it. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need your wisdom. That's why we read, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Just learning to walk in the fear of the Lord. Lord, direct me through this. Walk with me through this. Help us through this. Guide us through this, Lord. Give us that spirit of wisdom that we need. There's nothing like walking with Jesus. Nothing like walking with him. It's so sweet. You know what I'm talking about, right? There you are at work trying to figure something out. Lord, just help me here. Just help me here. He's always there. He's right here. Here. He's right here. He's in you. He's here. Just walking with him. So beautiful, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me strength. Show me what to do, Lord. And he just loves it. Don't you love it when you have children? Don't you love it when your kids ask you for help? Don't you? Dad, would you help? Really? He loves it. And he knows them. He is a stronghold in the days of trouble. And he knows those who are trusting in him. Trust him. No matter what is going on in your life tonight, trust him. Happy are those people who are trusting him. He that gives unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. When you remember the poor, the Lord says, your needs will be met. Proverbs 19:17. He that has pity upon the poor lends unto the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. Now you talk about investment, right? You have stock and you look and go, they're up, they're down, they're up, they're down, they're up and down. In God's stock market, it just always goes up. Help the poor. It's not like interest rates are going to change. God's economics are so beautiful. They're the opposite of the world. His value system. You die to live. You give to get. You forsake to gain. It's the opposite of the world. You getting that tonight? Sometimes the way the world does something, do it the opposite. That's probably lined up with Scripture. He that gives unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. Last verse, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Well, we saw this principle back in verse 12. So much in here tonight. You know what I like about the Proverbs? I'm sure it's not coincidental. There's 31 Proverbs, and many times there's like 31 days in a month. Eat. Read and eat a proverb a day. That's a good one. Eat and read a proverb a day. And the longer you walk with the Lord, all of that will start to get into your system. It'll get into your head. That's the renewed mind where you begin to see that the impossible is possible. You're beginning to think heavenly minded, not earthly minded. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.